Today is found in the last chapter of the book of Joshua. In this chapter, we have Joshua calling upon all Israel to assemble themselves at Sichem. He called all the elders and the rulers of the people together at this particular time. In the former chapter, he had already called them, and it appears that he had fears that he would soon die, and therefore he wished to speak unto them. In this chapter, we have what we would call his farewell sermon unto Israel. And he begins speaking unto them as they are all gathered together at this place, and he begins to speak and say, "Thus saith the Lord." We have here then Joshua speaking unto Israel in a way of a sermon. He begins speaking about how God had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and had brought him into the land of Canaan, how that he had blessed Abraham and given unto him Isaac. And Isaac likewise, he had been given Jacob and Esau. Esau had been given Mount Seir, but Jacob had went down into the land of Egypt. In the land of Egypt, God had blessed Jacob abundantly, and his seed multiplied. And while they were in this land, these people, they were in oppression. They were slaves. They had to serve the Egyptians with rigor. And God seen their plight, heard their cry, and brought them up out of the land of Egypt. He had sent Moses and Aaron unto them, and they brought them out to the Red Sea. When they came to the Red Sea, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord opened the way through the Red Sea for these people, and he drowned their enemies in the same sea through which they had went. Now, they had been a long time in the wilderness, had seen many wonders and miracles that God had done for them, and God had been faithful unto these people, and now he had brought them into the land of Canaan. He had promised them this down in the land of Egypt. Faithful to his word, he brought these people into this land. He had driven out before them all their enemies. He had fought against them himself personally from heaven. And he had driven out the Amorites and had given that land unto these people. He had given them to pass over the river Jordan. And now they were established in their land. Joshua had been given to divide this land as an inheritance unto the tribes, and they were all settled and dwelling in this land. And now Joshua, feeling that the end of his life was very near, he had brought them here, and he was speaking unto them about this good God. And I am sure as while he was talking to them, their hearts began to glow. They felt such a feeling of love and affection towards this good God who had done so many things for them as a nation and as people and as individuals. And I am sure that likewise Joshua's heart was warmed by the inspiration of the Spirit of God in rehearsing all the righteous acts of this good God. And therefore he spoke to them and reminded them of the goodness of God towards them as a nation. All my hearers, I believe that while Joshua was speaking in this way, that the goodness of God took an effect upon the people. And Joshua likewise felt this. Oh, I would question you as my Bible class, have you ever been given to experience the goodness of God in your life? Has God been gracious to you? Has he called you out of Egypt? Has he perform many wonders and miracles for your soul and for your family and for those that are near and dear unto you? Have you ever been given to rehearse this? Probably before other people, God gave you a little liberty, gave you a door of utterance. You began to speak about this God, and your heart was warmed under the influence of his Spirit. For the goodness of God to you as an individual, and to your family, and to many that likewise were attached to you came up before you, and your heart was broken and contrite before God and before those who you were speaking. And I'm sure if you have had this in your life, while this was going on in you, there was such a feeling in your heart that everyone that was listening to you, that everyone that was related to you would love this God, would serve this God, would worship this God. This is what God usually gives when he gives an abundance of his spirit and liberty and opening to speak to his honor and to his glory. This is what Joshua was experiencing. And then he begins to speak unto these people, and he says unto them, "Now then, fear the Lord thy God, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the strange gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and serve ye the Lord. And if ye think it an evil thing to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua then here entreats these people to fear the Lord and to serve him in sincerity and truth. Oh, he brought before them this good God, what he had done for them. And now, should they not fear him? Should they not serve him? Should they not be obedient to him? Should they not love him? This was the desire that Joshua brought before these people. He was so worthy of it. Oh, they were given to remember what he had done for them, and therefore they should fear him and serve him and put away all the idol gods that they had yet amongst them. Oh, what a blessing it was for this man, Joshua, to be able to speak in this manner to the subjects of Israel. He desired this with his whole heart. And oh, I would desire the same thing, my hearers. If I was a Joshua standing before you, I would say to you, "Fear ye the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Oh, put away the idol gods that you have and serve the Lord." Oh, Joshua, he had a heart full of love and full of compassion for the Israelites as a nation, but also for their immortal souls. And he desired this with all his heart, that these people would do this. And he says, "If ye think it an evil thing to serve the Lord, choose ye this day." Now, this proves us that there were those that had no desire to serve the Lord. There are so many like this, my hearers. And not everyone wants to serve the Lord. They want to serve the world. They want to serve sin. They want to serve the flesh. And when exhorted to serve the Lord and fear him, there rises up in them a hatred. It's an evil thing. They don't want to go along with it. They would rather serve what they are serving, what they love, what they are attached to. Leave me alone. Now, if you think it an evil thing, you, my Bible class, to serve as God, you don't want to put away your idols. Oh, how many idols do we have amongst us, my hearers? Oh, there are so many idol gods. The Bible gives us a description of them. There are many that make idols of silver, of gold. They make images. Some people, their bellies are their gods, as we read. And oh, there are so many that serve the world, that serve the flesh, that serve Satan. These are their gods. Then there are so many that serve other creatures, bow down before them, idolize them. They make gods of ministers. They make gods of people that are famous in sports. If you hear the conversation of some young men, this is all that they talk about. These are the idol gods that they have on their minds and that they worship. Oh, some worship and idolize their husband, their wives. Some make idols of their homes and of what they have in them. Their whole life is wrapped up in these things. Oh, how many idol gods do we have in the world today? So many, they worship all the radio, television. These are things that they love. They want these things. They don't want to be deprived of them. They spend more time at these things than they do reading their precious Bible or on their knees in secret seeking God. They have no desire for God. They'd rather serve these things. How many of you must agree that as I say this is the truth? Oh, that I could entreat you to serve this God, my heroes, this God that Joshua loved, this God that called Joshua and who was given likewise to serve him. He was a faithful, he was an obedient servant to God. You do not read anything of Joshua's life that he did anything wrong in the sight of God and that God had to punish him or visit him or the people for what he had done. You do read it of Aaron, you do read it of Moses, but you do not read it of Joshua. And Joshua, he was an upright and an honest servant of the Lord. And he is here pleading with these people. And he says, irrespective now of how you accept what I'm speaking about, I have no authority over you and over your houses. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, how many would raise their hands if I said, have you such a desire? Have you such a longing in your heart that you yourself personally may serve the Lord and your house, your family, and everyone in it? Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we had so many families in our midst that had this principle in them. As for me, I can say this, my hearers, I wouldn't include my family in this, but I would say, as a Bible class teacher, as Joshua, and he said, as for me, oh, I can't serve the Lord, it is true, but I believe that God serves me at times. He serves me with his love. He gives me so many blessings he has already in this life, and I am sincerely attached to him. I lack so much. I wish I could love him and serve him wholeheartedly. Have you such a desire in your heart? Oh, that you and everybody in your house would serve this God. Is it not your prayer if you're a parent that all your children and your wife or your husband would serve this God, would bow down before him, and all that they have the same feelings in their hearts as you have? Oh, what a family this would be. How united you would be. Oh, there wouldn't be any differences in so many things, my hearers, which makes life sometimes so unbearable, which sometimes are as knives and as swords, they pierce right through you. What a mercy if we are like Joshua, and he could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, may you, as a Bible class and parents listening to me, be given this same decision that Joshua had. Oh, he had been served by God, he loved God, and he would continue on as long as life lasted to be a servant of the Lord. And therefore he desired that everyone listening to him would likewise do the same thing. And now the people, they were deeply under the impression of what Joshua was speaking to them about. Oh, they were deeply affected. Never did Joshua shine out so brilliantly as he did at this present moment. His age, his conversation, what was on his face, his countenance, beamed with the rays of God, and also in what he was speaking was a proof that he loved God and that he loved these people and that he had everything over for them. He desired their good, their best, And therefore, Joshua shined out very brilliantly before these people, and they were all affected with what he was speaking about. And these people, they likewise felt a glow in their hearts to serve this God, for they had been given an account of what he had done for them, and this had taken effect upon them. It was not for nothing that Joshua spake this sermon out, my hearers. No, it was blessed to their hearts. For we find that they began to say unto him, God forbid that we should forsake this God who has brought us up out of the land of Egypt and has shown so many signs and so many miracles amongst us and has brought us into this good land. We will serve the Lord, just as you, Joshua, you have in you, you're going to serve him, so have we. We are going to serve this Lord, because he is our God. They were then a people in covenant with God. They had entered into a covenant with him at Mount Sinai. And he had become the Lord their God. He had said to them, I am the Lord thy God. And these people, they had been joined to him in this respect. And two times Joshua likewise sealed this covenant. He is doing it here again with these people, bringing before them that this God was worthy to be served. And they likewise said that they would serve him. They would not forsake him. They would not leave him. Oh, what shall we depart from this God that has done so much for us? No, we cannot and we will not. He is our God. My hearers, the humanity that is upon the face of the earth today, God has created every one of us, and we are duty-bound, he being our creator, to serve him. And if we do not, we can expect nothing else but his vengeance and his wrath and his anger upon us. And now there are so many, my hearers, that take up a form of religion and are satisfied with this form. They do this not because they like it. They do it for fear that maybe God might visit them and punish them. And therefore, they take up the profession of religion as a form, and they live on in this form. But now, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is that man is an enemy of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, and it will not serve God. And this, by the preaching of the Word of God, is brought out. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. Man must be born again, must receive a new life, shall he serve God in truth and in sincerity. And this, the preaching of the gospel, brings before the hearers. And if in due time God in his infinite mercy blesses this preaching, then a person begins to realize the necessity of being born again. They begin to cry to God that God would give them a new birth. And as probably God already has instilled this in their hearts, we find that God blesses the ministry. And some are given to be born again. Some find the principle of a new life within them, and they are given to worship God in spirit and in truth. They begin to serve God. What a mercy if this has taken place in our lives. And this is what Joshua aimed at while he was speaking this unto Israel of old. When they said that they would serve God and that he was their God, then we find Joshua speaking unto them and saying, ye cannot serve God, for he is a holy God, and he is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions. Was Joshua in this trying to tell the people, it's no use of you trying to say you're going to serve God? It's no use of you making up your mind to serve God? No, this wasn't what Joshua was aiming at. Joshua was aiming at the truth, the principle of this grace of God in the person's soul. It is true, as he said, ye cannot serve God. None of us can unless we have the grace of God in our hearts, that then we truly serve him by his own spirit. And he is a holy God. Oh, this attribute of God, when it is brought home to a person, it gives him to see how unholy he or she is, and that they cannot serve this God and worship this God. They need a mediator. They need a savior. They need someone to stand in between them. And that this God is a jealous God. Oh, he doesn't want any rivals in our hearts. And if we depart from him and take up with some other idols, then God will surely visit us if we be his children. He will bring the rod upon us. But he will not depart from us. He will not leave nor forsake the work of his hands. But he will surely bring home our transgressions to us. This is what Joshua was aiming at when he spake unto them in this manner, trying to prove to them of the reality of religion and getting these people to consent that they would worship this God, this living God. And they agreed. They said, even after he had said these things, we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua, he called them to record, and he says, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have said ye shall serve the Lord. They said, we are witnesses. All these people were so intent and so bent on serving God that they did not want to go away from him. How I wish that everyone that was listening to me was of the same feeling in their hearts as these Israelites were at this time. Oh, they said, we shall serve the Lord. They were going to do it by the grace of God. There were many that really were truly worshipers of God in this crowd. But there were also many that only joined in form. And at these, Joshua was aiming and speaking to them in this way. And now these people agreed that they would worship God. So Joshua entered into a covenant with them and wrote it in the book of the law, all what had been taking place that day, as a record that they themselves had said that they would serve the Lord. And he likewise took a stone, and he put this stone under the tree, and he said, this stone has been listening to what we have said, and it will be a witness against you if ye forsake God and deny him. This stone probably he wrote upon the words that these people had said, we will serve the Lord, so that it would be a memorial to them, and if they turned away from God, they could go back to this point and read on this stone that this is what they had agreed to. These people then, they were given to be joined together with Joshua to serve God. They were going to be a religious people, and they were going to worship God from then on. They were going to put all their idol gods away, and this only true living God they were going to serve. Joshua then dismissed the people. They all went back to their inheritance. And we find a little while after this that Joshua, the son of Nun, died, being 110 years of age, and he was buried in Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. This man, Joshua, who had served Israel so faithfully and so obediently he came to the end of his life. The useful men, after they have served their time in this life, they likewise must die and turn to corruption. So it went with Joshua. He is called just the same as Moses. In this text it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. He was inferior, it is true, to Moses. And Moses was a man that talked with God face to face. And no other person ever had in this lifetime outside of Jesus such wonderful communion with God as Moses had. But still, Joshua, he was God's servant. And he had been, as I said, a faithful and an obedient servant. And it is commended here in this text, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. He had served God throughout his generation. And now he came to the end of his life. Joshua, he died. And this teaches us, my hearers, no matter how we may be in this life, connected with the service of God, a time comes that we must die. A death shall soon take hold of each and every one of us. Our life is as a vapor. Oh, we cannot say that we shall live to tomorrow, even to tonight. The death is certain, the hour is very uncertain. And death likewise is universal, as the Bible teaches us in Genesis 5. We read of this one, of that one, and they die. This shall be said of me and you someday. And how shall it be with you and I? If we have not been brought by the grace of God to do as these people did, we shall serve the Lord, then we have been serving what? Serving sin, serving ourselves, serving the devil, serving the world. And shall such a person, when it comes to die, enter into heaven? No, my hearers. We must be born again in this life. We must receive a new life. Joshua had received this. And now when Joshua died, he was taken out of this world unto God in heaven above. He was taken up into that glorious place of perfection, where there is no pain, where there is no night, where there is no unbelief, no sin, no devil. No, my hearers, it is a place of everlasting joy and happiness. This is where Joshua went to. He went home to be with the Lord forever. This was the end of this good man. Oh, shall your end be like that? Shall mine be like that, my hearers? The question. Oh, that we all may be prepared in this short space of time to be with Jesus forever and ever. Joshua was changed. From being a servant here below, he went to serve him forever in heaven above. This concludes the life of Joshua, the son of Nun. And then we read that the children of Israel, they had carried the bones of Joseph up with them, and they buried these bones in Shechem. It appears that Joseph had commanded in Egypt that they should not bury him until the children of Israel had found rest in the land of Canaan. 200 years had gone by since Joseph had died, and they had carried these bones with them, and they buried them now in this parcel of ground that Hamor had sold, and here Joseph, his bones, came to rest. Joseph, he was 110 years old when he died, the same age as Joshua. And this funeral for Joseph, the commentary says, was when Joshua was speaking to these people. This they said was a reminder to him, and likewise a reminder to them all that they soon would have to die. And then we read likewise of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, that he also died, and they buried him. And when Moses died, Aaron, his brother, died soon after him. He died, they both died in the same year. And so here, Joshua, the leader of the people, and Eleazar, the high priest, they both died in the same year. Of this, my hearers, proves to us that whoever they may be, that they soon will be taken off the face of the earth. And we will be buried, and soon the day of judgment shall come, that when everyone will be called out of the graves to appear before this glorious Jesus, who shall be the judge in that great day. Of these people then, we read, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of those elders that overlived Joshua. This was, they claim, the best generation of Israel. This people who here claimed that they would serve the Lord, they did. As long as Joshua lived, they served God. And as long as these elders lived, they served him. For a long period of time, they obeyed what they had promised to do. Joshua, he had given that he had been given to bring the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. The time from when he brought them in and the time that he died, some differ. Some say it was 17 years, but the Jewish chronology says it was 27 or 28 years from the time that he brought the people in to the land of Canaan. This is how long that Joshua lived yet after the death of Moses. He likewise then was 110 years of age, and so was, as I said, Joseph. And now for a long period of time, they had no leader. God did not raise up a man like Moses or like Joshua to lead the children of Israel. They had no one. And now gradually religion began to decline. It began to decay amongst them, and they began to leave the Lord. They began to forsake him, and they began to worship other gods. Oh, so often I've read this of these children of Israel, and it has touched me so. How could they? And still, if you know your own heart, and you know yourself a little bit by grace, then it's a wonder that you haven't yet left and forsaken God either. Oh, so many of the saints in the Bible have been given to leave and to forsake God, and they have brought upon themselves his wrath, his anger in this life. These people then, they left God again. They forsook him, and they began to serve idols. And then God brought upon them his wrath and his anger, and they were brought under by the people that dwelt in the land of Canaan. The scripture teaches us that they never destroyed all the enemies that were in the land with them. Each tribe left this one and left that many to live in their inheritance. And these people that were left, they rose up against the Israelites, and they became over them, and they were subject to their enemies. After having been given this country by the hand of God, and when they were in misery, in trouble, then they cried unto the Lord, that the Lord would deliver them out of the hand of him who was prevailing over them. And then God heard their cry, and he raised up judges who stood up at that time as men of God. And God was with the judge, and as long as the judge lived, then they served the Lord. But as soon as the judge died, then they departed again from God. But we have then in this book of Judges an account of the Israelites after Joshua and all those that had lived with him had died. And the first judge that God raised up for these people was Othniel. And he was a son of Caleb. And this man, he was raised up at a particular time when the Israelites were in great misery. And God raised this man up, and he delivered the Israelites out of the hands of those that prevailed over them. And while he lived and reigned, there was peace in Israel. Next week, the Lord willing, we will take up the lesson about the judges that judged Israel for a certain period of time. The Lord bless our feeble instruction this day, and may you, by the grace of God, be given to serve him, to fear him. In truth and sincerity is my wholehearted wish. That's all for today.